You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, everybody. It's Nick Strang, high school sports editor here at The Oregonian. I have a very, very special edition of The Oregonian Sports Podcast for you guys this week. I had the tremendous opportunity to sit down with Lake Oswego's Mia Bright-Pedersen, the state record holder in multiple sprint events and the relays. She's extremely close to national records, and she's probably going to be competing for a spot in the upcoming Summer Olympics in Paris. We got to talk track and field. We got to talk goals. And we also had a bit of a conversation about, you know, who Mia is outside of track and field. Things like, you know, what kind of food she likes to eat, what her coffee order is, her favorite movies, just, you know, who she is outside of an athlete. We had a really great conversation sitting on the steps at Lake Oswego High School last week. So without further ado, Mia Bright-Pedersen. So we're here at Lake Oswego High School. I'm sitting here with 12-time state champion, 2-time Oregon Gatorade Player of the Year, 11-time national champion, 22-time All-American, state record holder in the 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash, 4x200-meter relay, and 4x400-meter relay with Riley Ha, Marina Turpin, and Josie Donaldson. Yes. We've got Mia Bright-Pedersen here. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I just wanted to ask you a bunch of questions, and we're gonna talk track, we're gonna talk some shop, we're gonna get to know Mia a little bit better, because you've been dazzling us here for years, and you know, we just want to get to know the real Mia a little bit better today.
Sounds good.
So I guess first, you know, your spring senior season is starting already. Feels like it went by really fast.
Oh gosh, a blink of an eye.
Yeah. What are your goals for this upcoming season?
Well, I think the main thing that everyone's kind of wondering is about the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely a goal that I have, is to hopefully make that U.S. Olympic team. Obviously, it's kind of like a far out there goal, but it's kind of seeming more and more realistic, especially after the season opener that I had back in Virginia Beach back in January. Mm-hmm. And I think overall, my goals are kind of pretty simple. It's just break as many records as possible and make as much history as possible.
Your times in the 100 and 200 are state bests. They're number two nationally, the 100 to Shanti Jackson and the 200 to Allison Felix, she's okay. She's how close do you feel that you are to achieving those times?
I think, honestly, I was a little shocked that last year I didn't even get closer than I did. So that means this year I'm not even gonna be surprised when it happens. I'm excited. I feel like it's close by. Once I'm healthy, because I am still recovering from an injury, once I'm healthy, I don't think the records will last for long.
I was gonna say that I know you missed a lot of the indoor season. With an injury, what percentage do you think you are back now?
Right now, I think I'm probably about 90% back, so that's very, very exciting. Practices have gotten faster and more competitive in the past couple weeks, and we're progressing really quickly. Mm-hmm.
One of the only state records that has kind of eluded you so far is that 4x1 set by the Benson girls. Yeah. Were you even born in 2002?
No.
you know, you got your girls back.
Yes, I do.
And you guys, you know, you guys were close a few times last year. You know, is that within reach this season?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not the only one who's gotten faster. All the other girls on my relay have been putting in significant amounts of work, and it's showing already in practice. The season is still young, and we just had the first couple warm days of the season, so there's so much more that we have left to do, and that record is going down. It has to.
You've had so many crazy moments over the past few years, especially this past, this past calendar year. That 4x2 at the Oregon Relays where you, I still like wake up at night angry that I didn't video that, because I was like, she's not going to make this. And then you made it. And I was like, I hate kicking myself for it. So, you know, you hit 11 seconds on the 100. You got to sign your NIL deal with Nike. That's a first for a high schooler. You got to race against Shakari Richardson. What has been the highlight for you this past year?
That's so hard because there have been so many highlights. It's just kind of, it's hard to pinpoint just one. Definitely, I would say, a moment that has kind of stuck with me was at USA's at the 100 meter starting line for the final, when I wasn't supposed to make the final. I was hardly supposed to make the semifinal. And I was just standing there, and then they call my name, and the stadium just erupts, and it gets so loud. And in that moment, I kind of realized how big my support system really is. I have all these people who I've never met, and they are rooting for me, and they just want to see me succeed. And that was just super inspiring and just kind of made me even more excited for my future.
I know that when you hit that time in the 200 last year, we were all talking to you after that race, and you were just like, I can't right now.
Yeah.
My name is next to Allison Felix's name in the record books. Now that some time has spent, how does it feel to be, next to one of the great Olympians from this country?
Yeah, that for a long time, I was kind of just saying that having my name even spoken in the same sentence as her is like insane to me, and it still kind of is, but as I've done more and accomplished more and just been in these bigger races, I'm starting to kind of get used to that feeling and get used to having my name spoken in the same sentence as all these amazing athletes and trailblazers, and it's incredible, and I'm just so grateful because that's not something that everyone gets to experience, and it's super special.
What was it like going from racing ladies like, Lily Jones, great runner, Sophia Beckman, your close friend, great runner, and then you go to racing against Jenna Prandini, actual Olympic medalist, and Shakari Richardson, actually the fastest woman in the world?
Oh, that was crazy, but I think a lot of people kind of expected that I would be a lot more nervous than I really was, and I quite honestly even shocked myself because I wasn't that nervous going into it. It was obviously a huge adjustment. It's unlike anything I've ever done before. But for some reason, I just kind of felt ready, and I knew that I belonged there. And if I didn't belong there, that I wouldn't be there. And so I just kind of was like, hey, let me make the most of this opportunity. And there was really no pressure on me. So I was just kind of able to have fun with it.
I have an event in mind, but looking back on your previous years, when did it really click for you that, you are this level of runner and that you can pursue track and field, post high school and even post college?
Yeah, I would say the real time when it, like the first time that it really clicked for me that this is something that I'm gonna try to evolve and expand on was probably Nike Indoor Nationals in 2022, that I won the 200, and that was one of my first big national titles. Kind of, I was like the underdog going into it, and then I ended up pulling off the win, and I was in shock, but then it kind of settled in later on that I was like, okay, I've worked really hard in this offseason, and now I'm seeing that it's paying off. So what's going to happen when I keep putting in that work? And I think that was the start of my sophomore season, and that was kind of, I think I look at it that way, but a lot of people look at my sophomore season as kind of my kickoff year when everything kind of started coming together and I started making a name for myself.
I obviously don't go to your guys' indoor events. That's not a, you know, my varsity world, but I still remember the Jesuit Twilight Relays your sophomore year, where where you were actively like going for Margaret Johnson Bales' record every week, and and they like it was you versus Lily in the first event of the elite events at the for that night. It was like the 6 p.m. start. And I just remember the stadium was full at Jesuit, and I was trying to get a video of it up top, and there was a lot of people that were like, hey, are you leaving right after this? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, the boys' mile is going to be good. Like, the boys' mile was good your sophomore year. Yeah. They had, you know, Lakeman, that boy from Franklin, Lincoln. There was a lot of good distance runners that year.
Yeah.
And they were the last event of the day. And everyone was like, once Mia's done, I'm gone. And I was like, oh, you know, that's, you know, she's big time. People actually came to see her.
Yeah, I always love hearing stories like that because just kind of reminds me a lot of what was happening at USA's this past summer, where I was just kind of realizing how big my support system and the people who support me really are. And that's just like another one of those scenarios where people, they're just there to support me. And even though I might not ever even really talk to them or know them, I feel their presence, and it's just, I'm really grateful.
Your freshman and sophomore year, you were, like I was saying earlier, you were chasing Margaret's records, and those are records that are very old, you know. Some people probably thought they would never go away. But then after, you know, you finally hit that mark, and you go from chasing someone else to chasing your own marks. Does that change your mindset at all?
I would say not necessarily. I think that chasing my own record, it kind of becomes more serious because you're not trying to show someone else up, and it's more expected that you improve once you're the one like trying to improve on your own marks. And so when I was just chasing the old record, I was kind of, it's like a whole what if, and now that I'm chasing my own records, it's like a, oh, you better do it. And it's, people expect it, and I expect it of myself. So it's kind of more serious, but it doesn't really shift my mindset all that much. Mm-hmm.
You're the first high school track and field athlete to sign a NIL deal with Nike. What was it like going from, you know, representing that, you know, you always represent yourself, you represent Lake Oswego High School wherever you go, and your track club when you're not competing for your high school. What was it like going from that to representing, you know, a national brand like Nike?
Yeah, I feel like to have a brand that big, like literally a world giant of a brand, kind of trust you to use your face to represent their brand, that's a huge deal. And I, when it first happened, I remember feeling just honored that they wanted to support me. But then also I just felt this sense of confidence because having a brand like that supporting you and supporting your every move, that it's kind of hard not to have confidence because you feel like you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And I've proven that, and I feel like I've represented the brand pretty well, but I'm just kind of excited to do even better for them.
When you competed with the the pros at the USA's this summer and made it all the way to the finals, myself and, you know, other sports journalists in the area like Renee Ferran, Jackson Noggle, we were all terrified. That was like, oh my God, if Mia makes it all the way, is she gonna pack up her things and go to the Olympic Training Center? We'll never see her again. We don't get a senior season. Was that something that was even in your mind, knowing that the qualifiers are coming up?
No, I mean, people would bring it up like, oh, why aren't you going pro? Or why would you even bother going to college? Or why would you even bother with your senior season? And I just feel like that kind of question, it shocks me because I love high school sports and I love just like the idea of being a part of a team. And so if I went pro, that would all be taken away. My eligibility for high school and college would be taken away. My support system, because I mean, college athletics, that provides a lot of support. You don't have to figure out your own coach. You don't have to figure out your own medical, all your travel, everything, your housing is just kind of set up for you. And so if I was to go pro, that would kind of just forfeit all of that. And not only does that forfeit all of the support and just kind of everything logical, it's just, it's not as, it doesn't sound as fun for me right now. And that obviously might be in the cards later on. And maybe after this season or next season, I'll kind of start looking more towards that as a possibility. But as of right now, I have no intention of going pro anytime soon. And I'm just excited to be in the now.
Mm-hmm. Every time I've, you know, talked to you or, you know, I'm on the phone with your dad, you guys are... Every time I'm on the phone with your dad, you guys are like in a lift.
Yeah.
From appointment to appointment.
Yeah.
You have so much going on already. You know, when I talked to you in the fall when you committed to USC, you were like, oh, I got practice and then I have PT and then I have a chiropractor's appointment and then I have this and that. And I'm just like, oh my God, oh my goodness. Like the second the bell rings, like you are a professional already. Yeah. You know, how do you juggle just all the responsibilities that you have and all the, you know, appointments that you have right now?
It's definitely kind of been difficult. And there was definitely an adjustment period when I kind of realized, like, hey, I'm not a professional athlete, but I'm kind of like the next closest thing to it. And there, it was definitely like, oh, I kind of have to start acting differently and conducting my life differently, managing my time differently. And that took me a while to understand and to really get used to, but I think this year especially I've kind of started to get more into that and understand how to balance things. But I've definitely had to rely on my family a lot, and they make my life so much easier. And I just, yeah, it's been hard, but especially it's senior year, so it hasn't been too bad. My school load's pretty light, and I'm really happy about that.
When I go to a track and field, especially at Hayward, where, you know, the stands go to the bottom, and when you guys are walking, the people are at that level. Mm-hmm. You, especially last year, you and Sophia were just constantly getting stopped by little kids.
Yeah.
And then I always see that you're sharing people's pictures with you at, you know, indoor nationals just recently. What has it been like being, you know, sort of a track celebrity to, you know, the next generation?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like the biggest honor. And I love that I'm able to be a good influence for the younger generation of up and coming track and field athletes. It's so much fun. I love meeting the people who support me and who look up to me. And it just makes it so much fun just to go out there and meet everyone and just to see that even though I'm just kind of doing my thing, people appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Who is your track and field role model growing up?
Honestly, I didn't really have too many people that I just kind of directly looked up to. Allison Felix was definitely one of those names that I knew of before I even stepped foot on a track. And so I think by default, she was that person that I looked up to. And I think that was honestly probably one of the better choices I could have made, because she's so classy, and she's, even though she's accomplished so much, she's just remained really humble. And I think that's just kind of a good model that I try to reflect, and for the younger generation, because she inspired me to be a better athlete, but also just a better person while doing so.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That is the end of the track and field questions for you. Now I'm going to ask you a bunch of personal questions. We're just going to have some fun with it. We're going to get to know the real Mia outside of track and field. So what is something about yourself that people like myself who only know you from track might not know?
I would say something that a lot of people might not really realize is that I'm actually a very quiet person, and I really, really like my alone time. And a lot of like my closer friends and my family and all my teammates especially, they definitely know that, because on the track, I seem really bubbly and excited to a lot of people. But the second I step off the track, I'm like exhausted, and I'm really, really quiet, and I just love just bundling up in my room and maybe reading a book or like just hanging out away from people.
I remember Tyrone Gorzy from Crater.
Yeah.
He last year at the Jesuit Twilights, his event was last, and he was the only one. But Crater was there the whole day, so we were like, "So, Tyrone, what'd you do all day?" And he said, "I've been in the hotel room reading a book the whole day. It's just I can't be around people the whole day." If you had never become a track and field athlete, what career would you be eyeing right now?
I really love the sciences, and so I'm majoring in human biology, or at least that's the plan right now. So I'd probably want to go somewhere on the pre-med path, just kind of going into that area. But I don't know, I'm not quite sure. It's been hard to think about since for the past few years, the only thing I've ever even envisioned for myself is just I'm going to be a professional track athlete. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite class right now?
Right now? My late start.
So your next track meet, coach says, Mia, you cannot run sprints or relays. You have to pick a different event. What event are you going for?
Long jump, I guess. I don't really like sand, and so I guess, but that's the only other event that I could really use my speed for. I mean, the next closest thing would be the 800. I'm not doing that. So I guess I'll just use my speed and just launch myself into a pit of sand, complain about it for a few minutes, and then move on.
People who like the 800 are different. Like, yeah. It's a torturous.
I don't think you have to like the 800. I don't think that's really possible. I think maybe you're just not fast enough to be a sprinter, and you don't have the endurance to be a distance runner. So now look at you. You're in the 800, and I don't think you enjoy it. But, you know, to each their own.
What is your most played song on Spotify?
I would have to actually check. I don't know. I think probably my most played artist is probably either J. Cole or Bryson Tiller, but I don't know.
What is your guilty pleasure TV show?
I don't know about TV show, but The Hunger Games is my comfort movie.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, this one might be hard for you because you're so busy, but you're given a free day. Your parents and your coaches say nothing track related. So what are you gonna do?
Probably just stay at home for like the first half of the day, just have a really slow morning and make myself breakfast or whatever. And then I'd probably want to go out to lunch with a few of my girls, maybe just like go out and do something fun, and then maybe go on like a hike with a few of my teammates and just hang out and then go out to dinner.
What is your ultimate cheat day meal?
I've been craving Wingstop since December. I really, really want Wingstop so bad. I've probably thought about it like 4 times today, but that would be my cheat meal if I was to have one today.
There's like a Wingstop like 2 blocks from my house. I've never been.
I know. There's Wingstops. I see them when I drive on the freeway. I'm like, that exit takes me to Wingstop. I could just, but I don't. I've been holding back.
I think you might have just answered my next question, but where is your favorite place to eat?
I've only had Wingstop like twice in my life, but it just sounds so good, and I see all the videos of it on like TikTok and stuff, and it just looks really good too. But my favorite restaurant is just anywhere sushi related. I'm not super picky. I'm not like a diehard fan for any restaurant, just like sushi in general, I really like. Yeah.
Okay, that's the end of that's the questions I had for you.
Okay.
So Mia, we're gonna do Oregon this or that.
Okay.
These are all at least slightly Oregon related things, and we're gonna see which ones you prefer.
Okay.
First one, Mount Hood or the coast?
The coast, I guess.
That looked like a neither.
I don't like the mountains. I don't like the cold. I don't like the mountains. I don't like the wind on the coast. So, city girl.
Future LA girl.
Yeah.
This one might be a little obvious because of what you would do. Eugene or Corvallis?
Eugene.
Providence Park or the Moda Center?
Providence Park.
Dutch Bros or Starbucks?
Starbucks. I'm sorry. I don't really like Dutch Bros that much.
What's the order in Starbucks?
I get a grande brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso, but no oat milk. almond milk, and then 3 pumps of brown sugar instead of 4. Yeah.
That was
Starbucks
beyond.
Loves me.
In-N-Out or Burgerville?
Neither. I guess In-N-Out. I mean, I guess. But that's not really an Oregon thing.
Salt and Straw or Voodoo Donuts?
Voodoo.
What are you getting at Voodoo?
Oh no, I haven't been there in years. I don't like Salt and Straw because they're taking away business from Tillamook.
Ooh. Hydro Flask or Stanley?
Hydro Flask.
Pendleton Roundup or the Shakespeare Festival?
My English teacher always rants about the Shakespeare Festival, so I think that's cool.
International Rose Test Garden or Multnomah Falls?
Multnomah Falls.
Umbrella or rain jacket?
Rain jacket. If you use an umbrella, you're not a real Oregonian.
Tillamook cheese or Reister's potato salad?
Or what?
Reister's potato salad.
I guess the cheese. What?
Pizza schmitza or sizzle pie?
Pizza schmitza. I grew up with it.
I'm nervous about this one. Skiing or snowboarding?
Neither. I don't like snow.
Lloyd Center or Washington Square Mall?
Washington Square.
Marion Berries or Hazelnut?
Marion Berries, I guess.
Okay, that was it. Okay. Told you it was going to be fast. Once again, that was Mia Bry-Pedersen from Lake Oswego. Thank you so much, Mia, for taking some time out of your day to do the podcast with us. Great to work with you as always. And thank you so much for everyone for tuning in to this special edition of the Oregonian Sports Podcast. It's definitely my first time doing a podcast like this, and it's probably been a long time since the Oregonian has featured high school sports in the podcasts in this level. So if you have any feedback, you want to see some more of this, please let us know. We can, you know, do some more stuff like this in the future. Feel free to give me a follow on the social medias. I'm at Nick Strang on pretty much every platform. On Instagram, I am at Nick from the O. And make sure to subscribe to the Oregonian Sports Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time.